obsessing over the one word the Federal Reserve didn't use. I'm Tracy Samuelson in for David Brancaccio in New York. Interest rates are going up again. The Federal Reserve raised its benchmark rate a quarter percentage point yesterday. It's continuing on the path of gradual rate increases after dropping them steeply during the financial crisis. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer was at the Fed in Washington yesterday. Nancy, there was a lot of attention paid to that one word missing from the Fed's usual statement. What was it?
Accommodative. That is the Fed doing whatever it can to shore up the economy. That meant very low interest rates for a long time. Then the Fed started raising rates, but it kept saying it was going to be accommodative. It didn't say that in the statement it issued yesterday, but Fed Chair Jerome Powell said Fed policy will still be accommodative. He said the Fed is walking a fine line with interest rate increases.
If we move too quickly, we can, you know, snuff out a recovery unnecessarily, and inflation falls short of its 2% target. Or if we move too slowly, we have an economy that can overheat.
And Powell was very open about saying, look, we can't predict the future. We're doing what we think is right at this moment.
So with interest rates going up, what do you think that means for consumers?
You're going to pay more if you carry a balance on your credit card. You'll pay more for a car loan or a home loan. Bankrate says the average credit card rate has jumped from around 15% to about 17% since the Fed started raising interest rates. If you have a credit card balance of $10,000, that's an extra $16 a month. So you're not paying a whole lot more, but you're paying more. And Powell acknowledged that.
The cost of borrowing is going up. But it's going up from what were extraordinarily low levels, and it is something that we watch carefully. And, you know, the effect on consumer spending is a very important channel through which interest rates work, and so we do monitor the effects.
Consumer spending accounts for more than two-thirds of economic activity in the U.S., so the Fed definitely doesn't want to tamp it down too much.
Nancy, thanks. And now let's do the numbers. After the Fed's move yesterday, the 10-year Treasury yield is up at 3.05%. The FTSE in London is up nearly 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up slightly in the 0.1% range, the Dow future up 18 points. The head of the International Monetary Fund has agreed to increase a loan package to Argentina as the country faces a confidence crisis regarding its currency, the peso. It's been one of the worst performing currencies this year. From Sao Paulo, the BBC's business correspondent Daniel Gallas reports.
Under the new agreement announced on Wednesday, Argentina will receive $57 billion in its quest to bring stability to its currency. That's $7 billion more than the government had agreed with the IMF back in May. But it's still below what many market analysts believed was being negotiated. The country will also receive $19 billion in early disbursements. Speaking at the Argentinian embassy in New York, the managing director of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, said the measures will be instrumental to reestablish market confidence. Argentina promised it will keep the peso a free-floating currency and that the central bank will only intervene when there is extreme volatility. The government of President Mauricio Macri must now approve a budget that implements a series of austerity cuts. But his success will depend on his ability to get Congress behind him. Meanwhile, the IMF board will vote on the package in the coming days.
The BBC's Daniel Gallas.
Over the past few months, you've been hearing Divided Decade, Marketplace's year-long project covering the Great Recession and its ongoing impact. As a nonprofit news organization, we believe this kind of in-depth reporting is critical to helping people understand the economic forces that affect us every day. Now, if you agree, please go to marketplace.org to become a Marketplace investor and keep reliable, independent journalism going strong. And thank you.
California became the first state to eliminate cash bail last month, doing away with a practice of paying money to get out of jail before trial. A handful of other states have made similar moves to reduce their reliance on cash bail. From Los Angeles, KCRW's Benjamin Gottlieb has more.
Los Angeles County's Men's Central Jail in downtown LA is one of the largest jail complexes in the country. And so it's no surprise that the streets around it are lined with bail bond businesses.
Hola, señora.
Some even have employees trolling for clients on the sidewalk. But starting in October of next year, California's bail industry is set to change. Under a new law, getting bailed out of jail will be a thing of the past. In its place, judges will decide whether defendants can head home without paying bail to await trial or have to stay locked up. And for bail bond companies?
What it means to me is the business that I've built over the last 12 years will have to close.
Stephen Gibbs is the owner of All Pro Bail Bonds with locations all across California.
It means 160 people that currently work for me will be out of a job and we'll have to go find a new one.
Gibbs says he's not sure what he'll do if he has to close his business. In L.A. County, the bail system has meant big money. A recent report commissioned by the Chief Justice of California found that from May 2016 to May 2017, bail companies posted nearly $1.75 billion in surety bonds with the Superior Court of L.A. County. Companies make money by requiring you to pay a percentage of your bail up front. Now, supporters of the new law say the system is inherently unfair to poor people who have fewer resources to pay.
If you're poor and innocent and not a flight risk, you don't get out.
Bob Hertzberg is a state senator who authored the new law.
I'm sorry, that's on its face unfair.
Hertzberg says the current system is focused too much on a defendant's ability to pay and not enough on assessing whether they are actually a danger to society. Even though Governor Brown signed the law, the bail industry is hoping they can avoid becoming obsolete. A coalition led by bail bond companies is working now to gather hundreds of thousands of signatures to put a measure overturning the law on the November 2020 ballot. In Los Angeles, I'm Benjamin Gottlieb for Marketplace.
Finally, a telemarketer who made more than 21 million robocalls now has to pay the FCC over $80 million. The robocalls use a practice called caller ID spoofing, where the number that shows up on your phone isn't actually the one that's calling you. It's illegal when used to harm consumers. Also, super annoying. I'm Tracy Samuelson with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.